Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. See The Adam Carolla Show like never before in 360-degree virtual reality. Visit podcastone.com/CarollaVR to download the sold-out show at Esports Arena in Santa Ana with guest Real Housewife of Orange County, Heather Dubrow.
You women, you do a lot of complaining with all the Me Too movement, all this stuff.
A lot of complaining.
Yeah. You pay less for your auto insurance.
There's a bonus.
You live 7 years longer.
Right. And the crappy ones at the end.
When the Guatemalan lady kicks the door open on your bathroom, we can all pretend you were taking a piss.
Plus, Gina, Bald Brian, and a sold-out Orange County crowd. Again, visit podcastone.com/CarollaVR and get it on in virtual reality. More info at adamcarolla.com.
In bag, in studio.
Wait, hello. How are you?
Got dates coming up. The Send Up on the Shaw.
Yep. It's going to be a fantastic time in St. Louis.
Yeah, tell me about that.
It's a music festival, food truck festival, comedy festival, all one day at this little bar on the Shaw, which is the good area of St. Louis. They've never had any riots or anything like that. People treat each other nicely. And, yeah, it's just a big old day of music and comedy.
Food.
And burritos.
Fun.
Where do I go there? The pageant? Is that the Max Pana?
Yeah, this is different. This is a street.
No, I get it, but is the pageant, is that like the music venue over there?
I think
so.
I think that's what it is, yeah.
I sort of recall that.
How big is that place, though? It's huge, right?
Well, Max Pana's kind of fair. Did you guys play that? Did we play that together?
Yeah, there was the two, yes, it was a very small stage. I remember St. Louis had a very small
narrow
stage. The small, yeah, narrow, wide and not deep. And there were the two guys who were fans of the show, and they were also either podcasters or local radio guys or both.
Yes.
Yeah, so I do
Chris Denman?
That.
Yes.
I think it was Chris.
That's who's doing the Send Up on the Shaw. He's the one that's created that. It's his baby. And we're going to do that. Yeah.
All right.
Good dudes. Good show.
Yeah, good dudes. Good show. I don't know. What's a pageant hole? 900 people?
There was some food backstage, too. I remember that. Some fan brought some delicious something.
Yeah. All right. So that's you can get tickets at eventbrite.com as well. So something we're talking about off the air, talking about your bald friend who you traveled with, though I thought was you.
Make-A-Wish.
Make-A-Wish.
To come here.
To hang with me.
Pageant doesn't hold 2,300 people. I don't think that's right, Max Pata.
Okay, I'll look somewhere else. But I have the capacity at 2,300. I don't know, maybe is that different than
it's a big place, but I don't think we pretty much sold the place out. I think it was like 1,000 people or something.
Okay.
But
they might have different modes.
They might have different modes. Anyway, who cares? Here's the deal. So I was talking about off the air is the handful of aesthetic things that God gives everybody.
Right.
And you got a nice nose.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, bud.
And eyes of a steely serial killer. Right. But you get, look, take height.
Yes, yes.
As some guys are tall. Yep. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Right? River crossing. That.
Tall with a big ass and then not a good thing. And then people start cheating with braces and hair and nose jobs and lifts and boob jobs and fake boobs and fake calves and everything else. But the bald thing, it used to be a thing that was a kind of a strike. Like a dude like me or Ian with a full head of hair would have an advantage in 1974
right,
over Jason Statham.
Right.
As a matter of fact, Jason Statham would be screwed in the mid 70s. He'd be selling shoes to us. And I'd say, I cannot see them over my long locks of hair. Somebody please restrain my hair so I can witness my shoes.
Hold it.
Yeah. No, it would be weird.
Yeah.
He would be bald. He could go full shaved head and then he'd just be a weirdo. Or he could grow his hair long and be bald.
He'd be Wallace Shawn.
Yes, it would not work for him. Nice. Yes.
That's why whenever it comes up, that's why I always, people are like, who's on the bald Mount Rushmore? I always say Yul Brynner. And Yul Brynner had a beautiful bald head back, you know, back before it was fashionable. And you're right, most people shave their head intentionally, just look like a weirdo, skinhead or whatever. Yul Brynner was not bald, shaved his head for The King and I, mm-hmm. liked the look so much, spent
brand.
The rest of his career with a bald head.
I'm going to be the king the rest of my life.
By choice, bald. And he went, he was iconic.
Yeah, he was prepared for cancer.
There you go, exactly.
He also
slid right into cancer.
He also probably realized that much
was
like
a badass.
The great comedian Marty Allen, which is I can get a lot of mileage out of my hair or lack thereof.
Or like, my look,
like, my attention, look, I'm going to get a lot more attention.
Yeah,
wow.
Look, he got really he's like, I look so good, I'm shaving it by choice. And that was his look for the rest of his career.
West World,
look.
Everything, yeah.
Yes, everything.
All right.
There's not as many bald guys now, I notice. So for some reason, there's...
I think they're
everybody's
correcting
dad.
It.
Is that what's going on?
Well, that's the other thing that makes it unfair to the chosen ones, like ourselves, who are heading into middle age with a full head of hair. We get no credit anymore because you can go take care of this cosmetically if you want.
You can get pivened.
You can get full pivened.
Has he had his hair done? I don't remember him.
Oh, Ian.
Well, I just talked to his publicist. He said no. I said
okay. Apologize.
Yes, he's had his hair done, and there's a guy who wouldn't have that career. Minus okay. All right. Let's not dwell and be catty. But
Andy Short.
Yes, his hair it replaced itself magically.
Yeah. It Benjamin buttoned.
He's way more fun than the other one.
All right. We're looking at old and new Piven.
Non-threatening.
All right. Yeah. We have the drunk tank calls. You're from a place where they like to drink, right?
Yes. Terrace, British Columbia, home of the Sherwood Forest Brewing Company.
And you've done some things with blasting caps logging and stuff. I mean,
gold mining.
These are dudes who can put a few back.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. You get hammered at the end of the day.
Think about your best drunken.
Which one?
Yeah, I know.
Like there's the car wrecks. There's the fights. There's the.
Fight. Let's go with a fight.
Yeah.
Now I have a lot myself. The one I just trot out is I threw up in an ice maker in Tijuana.
Oh, that's pretty impressive. And nobody even noticed.
And then fell asleep in an alley behind the establishment.
Oh, you're lucky to be alive.
I guess so.
You are. Like, yeah. That's a horrible story.
Yeah, I'm lucky. No one else is that I'm alive, but I'm lucky. So think about that story. We'll take a couple of phone calls here. Let's see. Got arrested for getting drunk and streaking through a downtown Santa Rosa, man. That's Dawson stomping. Or neck
Rosa
of the woods. Close to it. Not that close. How far are you? Where are you from growing up?
Concord, which is about an hour and a half from Santa Rosa.
All right.
Fantastic grape juice.
I'll tell you about LegalZoom. Five things business owners can count on from LegalZoom. Reliability. Over 2 million people have used LegalZoom to start their business experience. They've been helping all types of businesses and owners for 17 years plus. I say plus because I've said this 2 weeks ago. Helpful support. They have the right people standing by, ready for your questions, all based in the United States. They don't outsource. Legal advice. LegalZoom isn't a law firm, but they have a network of independent attorneys licensed in all 50 states. No surprises, complete transparency with upfront pricing, customer reviews, and satisfaction guaranteed. Our own Mark Garagus will tell you, if you can get it done at LegalZoom, get it done at LegalZoom. Do not come to me. I have what's called billable hours, and whenever I told them they always use $300 an hour, that he just laughs hysterically. And Chris Brown sobs.
It's like an informed rails at once. It just makes good financial sense.
It is LegalZoom. Dawson.
Check out LegalZoom today. See how they can make your life better for you and your business. Oh, and don't forget to enter Adam at checkout to save even more. LegalZoom, where life meets legal. LegalZoom.com.
All right, we have an intro.
You're going to vomit 12 tequila shots you'll take, and you can have a bad headache and end up in rehab with Dr. Drew. This is the drunk tank. Sharpie penis on your face now. Slap a cop's horse on the ass now. You're gonna end up in zip ties. This is the drunk tank. Alcoholics calling about falling. Look out, they're gonna puke right on your shoe.
All right. right. Ian, I know you got some good stuff, but Blake from Nashville.
Well, fellas, don't forget about the current record holder, Evan from New Jersey, who called in and actually fought a cop. He scored 25. So that's
while on duty?
Was he on duty or the cop?
The cop.
I'm going to say the cop was on duty, yeah.
Yeah, cop's on duty.
Doesn't it usually end well?
It's good.
Pretty bad.
But Blake tried to hook over the chick, ended up shitting on a nightstand.
Oh.
That sounds pretty
I feel
rich.
Like the whole middle of this story that we need to learn about.
Blake?
Yeah. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. How did this turn of events happen?
Yeah, let me tell you. Let me preface this by saying this is probably an average Tuesday afternoon activity for our friend Ray, but for me, it's quite out of the ordinary. So I was actually living in downtown Burbank at the time of this this story. And
hold on. Ian should know my buddy Ray once said to me when we were taping the Man Show, it's like he said, "Hey, man, I got your back with Jimmy Kimmel." I said, "Yeah." I said, "I took a shit in his desk." I said, "Took a shit in his desk?" And he's like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "Wait a minute, aren't you trying to get hired on here or something for something?" And he's like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "You gotta get that shit out of his desk." This is like 8 o'clock at night. And he's like, "Seriously?" And I'm like, "Yeah, he didn't grow up like we grew up. Like, he's got a sense of humor, but it's not this evolved."
He's gonna cry for sure.
And he's not gonna like that you shit, especially that thin top drawer of his desk. And it's my office too. We share the same office. And he's like, "You really think so?" And I was like, "You got to remove that shit from his desk." And he's like, "What time do they open up the building?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I roll in at like 10. I was like, "What time's Jimmy get there?" "Sometime before me." And he's like, "Okay, I got to get in there." Like, people normally don't have to break into a building to steal a shit that they left in someone's desk. It's more the opposite. I'm going to break in and shit in the desk.
That was the trope of like 80s movies and sitcoms and stuff. Get in there, steal the cassette in the answering machine. Take that, get the answering machine cassette out, the message you left.
Yeah, there's a lot of like, I wrote my boss a letter telling him where he could shove it, and then he got the raise, and now he's got to get the letter back.
Fish it out under the door.
Right.
Sorry. How did he have your back on that?
Jimmy.
You're starting to understand, Ian. You're starting to understand.
Okay.
Jimmy had played a practical joke on me where he'd convinced. Jimmy and others had played a practical joke on me where he had convinced me that Natalie Maine from the Dixie Chicks was in love with me. And
it's a cliche as old as time.
It was based on true events, which is her calling me and asking me to escort, or calling my agent, asked me to escort her to the Grammys when she won the first, they won their first Grammy for, I don't know if it's country album. I think it was country album of the year,
big,
or whatever it is.
Big hit.
But it could have been new artist or whatever it was. But they won, and I was at the Grammys with them. Anyway, my girlfriend at the time was not pleased. No, it was told to me, now Lynette, it was explained to me that this was common fare, you know, like this is how Hollywood does it. I remember talking to my probably gay, gay assistant of my manager going, "How is it I'm going to escort this hot country blonde to the Grammys and not get my girlfriend pissed off?" And he's like, "What do you mean? They do it all the time. Like, that's just how it works."
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, "Oh, okay." So
okay,
there wasn't a best country album, best country performance, 1999.
They were nominated for a bunch of awards for Fly, that first album.
Yeah. And so I went with her, and Lynette was pissed. And then later on, Jimmy set me up. You know, Jimmy kept going, you know, "What are you going to tell Lynette?" Like, and I was like, "We went to the Grammys, now we're home, and now it's okay. And what's done is done. She's going back to Nashville. I'm going back to Loveline." And then I kept getting flowers and cars and hoagies. And I got a six footer.
Wasn't there a cookie cake?
Yeah, there's an oversized cookie. There's a chocolate chip cookie cake. There's a cookie like the size of a manhole cover. But to be fair to me,
were you like, "This chick is odd"? Were you like, when you're getting that kind of stuff?
Well, it was weird because I called her at some point.
"Thanks for the cookie."
No, it was worse. I said, because the letters would say, "Call me." You know what I mean?
Oh, no. Did you let her down easy?
Well, I tried, but it was weird. Like, I would call her. I called her, and she's in, like, Nashville or something. And I called her at, like, I don't know, 9 o'clock our time. What's Nashville? Is it 2 hours? Two or three? Could be two. It's tough. We got to work this out because I travel and I'm always confused. You go to Indianapolis and two. Oh. Right. There you go. All this right. is why I'm even more confused. Because people like you.
Sorry.
So it's 2 hours. So I must have been driving into work and it was like 9:30 at night. It was like 11:30 at night and or something in the love line. And I just called her to go like, hey, you know, thanks for the flowers. And she's like, oh, hey, Adam, I'm watching you right now on MTV. And I was like, okay, we know you are, baby. And then later, I said, thanks for the flowers. She's like, no problema. And so I was like,
no.
Well, because she thought her agents, you know, what
on
would
her
you,
behalf.
Yeah.
What would you say if somebody said, thanks for the flowers? You go, right, right. Hey, you earned it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care who called me.
Just a small gesture.
Yeah, Suge Knight could call me at 4 a.m. I'd be like, Suge, you deserved it, buddy. Good luck. Just hang up.
You stomp that guy like nobody's business.
Right. So that was kind of Don King. Suge runs him over.
I think Suge stomped a guy or two. I'm going to play the odds and say Suge stomped a dude.
Flowers. Yeah. So to be fair to me, I had a lot of things working against me in this charade. You know what I mean? Like everyone goes, oh, you're so naive.
No.
It's like, but not so. I got asked to the Grammys and then she's watching me on TV.
There was a basis for all of this.
Yes, it's based on her asking me out, essentially. So, you know. Anyway, I was convinced, and then I was humiliated.
How did you not go to Dr. Drew for answers immediately?
He's probably in on it.
Come on. Yeah, he was probably. But I like your friends going, I got your back. I'm going to shit in his desk.
So Jimmy was like, now you got to call her, and you got to yell at her. And I was like, yeah, I'll do that later. Because eventually it's getting out of control. And he's like, oh, no, do it now.
You got to put a stop to this.
No way. You got to put an end to it. And so what I was saying to him is like, because she'd sent her panties over and, you know, stuff like that. Well, she didn't send her panties.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jimmy sent his panties over.
Yeah. Right. Jimmy commandeered some panties. And it was simpler times. But anyway. So I said, I'll call her on my way into Loveline, like what I always do. And he's like, call her now and yell at her. And you have a girlfriend.
You yell at her?
He basically said, you got to put your foot down. Like, you tried being nice.
He's like, this ends now.
How do you not have a restraining order after saying something like that to her? She must have been crazed.
See, the first one was, she asked me the Grammys. The next one was, I called her to thank her for the flowers, but then tell her, like, I have a girlfriend.
Right.
But, you know, when you're in L.A., you can come do the show or whatever. And she was like, okay, thanks. You know, good. Thanks for the – glad you got the flowers, you know, and it hung up. And I hadn't talked to her since. All I'd gotten is a succession of cookies and six-foot subs and panties and things of that nature. So – then when I did call
her. The traditional trifecta of affection gifts, you know, 6 foot subs, cookies, and panties.
I just remember she was at a Pottery Barn with her mom. That's what I remember.
When you called her.
Yeah. And told her this had to end. And I was yelling at her and I looked up and Jimmy was standing on his desk with a video camera filming me. That's what I remember.
That videotape must exist.
We gotta find it.
Did you just stop in the middle of yelling at her and just realize what was going on and just stop?
I realized what was going on when everyone had filed in the room, was laughing at me, all the writers and stuff, and Jimmy's videotaping and stuff like that.
Did you let her on? Did you let her know? Or did you just?
I was so, this had taken place over the course of like weeks, you know, so my head was spinning around and I didn't know where to go. And I just like said, sorry. Like 18 times, and I said, I'll figure it out. I'll call
you.
You started
yelling sorry at the hung up phone. Yes,
Sorry, wrong Dixie chick.
That was it. Yeah.
We should come back with Drunk Tank.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. All right, let's do that. You're right. Hold on. Let's see what I got here. Yeah, let's take a quick break. We'll come back with Drunk Tank. All right, let's see.
Blake,
Ian Bag here. Blake. Nashville. Sorry. Yeah, Dixie Chicks, Nashville. Reminded me. 3 hour difference.
Yeah, don't worry. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Love that story. Hey, so what happened was I'd broken up with a girlfriend of 3 years. I was pretty depressed and wanted to go back out to where I went to college. I went back out to Colorado just to hang out with some buddies. And I called up a girl that I was interested in a few years ago, but, because I was with someone, I didn't ever make a move. So I called her up, picked her up when I got out there. Buddies and I decided to go out to the mountains and rent a hotel room and just drink and hang out in the hot tub and party. So proceeded to go up to the mountains and did exactly that. We bought cases of beer and sat in the hot tub all night long. And, you know, I'm going from Burbank at the time up to 10,000 feet. So it hit me quicker than I had expected. And we ended up back in the hotel room. There were two queen beds, and obviously I wanted to reserve one of those queen beds for me and this girl. And then my buddy and his girlfriend was in another. Needless to say, I didn't make it too late into the night, got back to the hotel, ended up passing out on the couch instead of the bed next to this girl. But I woke up around 1 a.m. with my buddy screaming at the top of his lungs, expletives. And it turns out that I was having a pretty vivid dream that I was out in the woods camping. And, when he turned on the lights, I woke up and I was on top of the couch, on the arm of the couch, squatting over the end table of the nightstand and, left a nice steamy brown Duke on the nightstand. And, I woke up to a terrible stench in the hotel room and immediately was horrified. This girl I was going to try to hook up with over the next couple of days sat up in the bed across the room, and I ran into the bathroom, grabbed some tissue, wrapped it up, flushed it away, and pretended like it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
But it stays around.
You know, put some rice in that burrito before you flushed it.
We got a score sheet here that says defecation, 10 points. But defecation in a hotel room
with others.
With people indoors. You have romantic interests in.
Yeah, the romantic interest part.
Bump it up a point or two.
Yeah, that's good. Any conversation with the girl?
Yeah, well, no, I mean, it was. So we all went back to sleep. I was pretty embarrassed.
No,
and the next morning was the worst.
Yeah,
I had to face the music the next morning. That was a tough one.
Who broached the subject? Because I'm sure you didn't.
No, I did. I did, Gina.
Oh,
I tried
wow.
to play it off. That's kind of my personality.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, you know, and I still do. I still talk about it. I joke about it with my buddies. And
all right, this is going to be worth some points in either direction. Did you hook up with the girl?
No, I couldn't close
okay.
the deal after
you just
that.
Got 8 points.
It was a sure thing
you got
until
8 points.
That.
All right,
hookups worth 12.
I'm gonna if you if you hooked up, I'd have to back out
it
some
wasn't
points
that bad.
Because
I'll say that's more impressive.
Went,
the consequences.
Yeah, you're right. Did not.
Yeah, it is impressive, but still the repercussions.
Yeah,
nothing. Just beat patrol and the shower. Defecation good in front of other people good. I'm going to give you 26 and just put you to the top of the leaderboard here.
Edge
winner, winner, baby.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ian Bagg's also in this competition, Ian.
Well, I think the defecation is pretty amazing, but the fact that everybody just slept it off for 8 hours,
that is really
impressive.
I want to tease this. I want a good fight story from you.
You want a good fight story?
A good drunken fight story. First, I'll tell you about TrueCar. MSRP, you might know what it stands for, but what does it mean? Same goes for invoice, list price, dealer price. It all could be confusing. Introducing True Price from TrueCar. Know exactly what you'll pay, including fees and accessories, before you get to the dealership. True Price is great because True Car shows you what other people pay. The same car, apples to apples, and you get your certified, you go to your certified dealer. They set the true price competitively so they can win your business. That's why you got to go with True Car. So when you're ready to buy new or used, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Again, you want new, you want used, you always go True Car. Lock in your price and pick up your sweet new ride. New or used, True Car for better car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. All right, Ian, fight story.
Okay, this is the best fight story I've ever been in, and I was drunk, and it doesn't end with me, but we start a fight in Hanky Panky's, and that's the bar in Terrace, British Columbia, mm-hmm. and there's only two bouchers. Yes, that's about the time. So So two guys, the guys that were fighting, two redheads, Walter Yeo and I think Walter Almeida. And Walter Almeida gets knocked out by my friend, who is also redhead, Trent. He gets knocked out. They drag him out, but Walter Yeo loses his mind outside.
Oh, that's so Walter Yeo.
But for some reason, we don't get kicked out. Walter Yeo loses his mind, starts going through, you know, those steel doors, those fire doors?
Yeah.
He just starts. I remember thinking, oh, it's not going to happen. You know, it's a steel door. And all of a sudden, you just hear thump. And that music's going on. And you can hear the thumping, just like everything just being torn apart in the door. And this goes on for like 5 minutes. And he finally gets the door open. He like rips the door open. And as he stands, he gets in, he's out of breath. Because he fought so hard to get in. And my buddy Trent just like cranked him right in the face and knocked him out. It was awesome.
Knocking people out.
Trent's a good fighter, except for when we first started fighting when we were kids. I remember running into a fight, and this was at the other hotel. This was at Gators at the Terrace Hotel, and it was downstairs, and that was great because when you got kicked out, they'd throw you up out the stairs. so they only threw little people out. But Trent ran in, and for some unknown reason, he went like volleyball move with underserve and just got cranked in the face. Like, I've never seen anybody get a nose blown up like that before. It was pretty great. Those are my two best fighting stories. Walter Yeo, though, because I still see him. He's still the butcher at the Safeway in Terrace. So when I go home, I see him. I just remember.
So out of the four guys fighting, three of them were named Walter?
Two. Three redheads.
You'll never see that there's four guys fighting and three of them look like Johnny Whitaker. Yeah. You'll never find that.
No.
You know what I will never forget on Sunset Boulevard I saw one time? A dude was so drunk, he started fighting with a parking meter. And I've seen dudes do dumb shit like that before. But this is where it got interesting.
The old style?
He lost to the parking meter. Yeah. Because you go so hard at it and you finally go for the headbutt and he knocked himself out. I saw it.
It's the end. It all starts out good in a fight, in a street fight. It never ends well.
With an inanimate object.
Casey, 40, Santa Rosa.
Eight man.
Got arrested. Eight go man. Ahead. Balls. What'd you do?
Yeah. Hey, so I'll just sort of set the scene. I lived on the north part of downtown with my buddy, and we were at a party in the south part of downtown, and there was about 10 blocks between the house we were at and home. And we were drinking Kessler back then, which is a low-end whiskey. And I got pretty hammered right off the bat, and I was kind of passed out at this party, and somebody declared, like, hey, let's walk back to the house naked. And that was sort of like the adrenaline needle to the chest for me. I jumped up, and we were ready to go, and I ripped off my clothes, and my roommate, best friend, he ripped off all his clothes. And we look around, and we're pretty much the only two naked. There was a couple girls there, and they got their shirts off, and were down to the bra. That was about it. But we were committed at that point. And my friend, he had a backpack. I had my clothes in my arms, and we started walking towards downtown. So I had my sweatshirt and my shorts. I think it was summertime. And I had my Converse on. And we got to downtown Santa Rosa, 4th Street there. And people were like, woo-woo, you know, hooting and hollering at us. And a cop comes running around the corner, or comes racing around the corner with the lights on and everything. And my buddy, he just grabbed a girl and started making out with her. That was his, like...
Balls.
Good
move. Yeah, drunken.
It's a movie move.
Yeah. That's just ordinary. Why else would he be out there naked? I decided I should run for it. But I've got my clothes in my hand, and I am just not... in any good shape. I'm zigzagging, and I look back, and the cop is chasing after me, and you can tell he's pissed. He's determined. So I drop my clothes, and I put my hands up. I say, all right, you got me. But he bashes me from the back, knocks me down anyways, full nude. So I hit the concrete. He digs the knee into the back and handcuffs my hands behind my back for that whole route.
Because you were obviously a physical threat.
The whole thing is you got to watch Catch a Predator every single time. It's like, you're free to leave. And the guy goes walking out, and that's when the Fresno Popo. And they yell, get on the ground. And as the guy's getting on the ground, they all dive on him every single time. Like, I just want to say this. Black people, they do it to white people. They do it to anyone they catch up to. They're like fucking bears. They're like Kodiak bears. Like,
that's how they take them down.
They tell those guys, like, lay down on the ground. The guys like, okay. And he starts getting down the ground, and they all dive on him. Like, that's what happens when they arrive. They just start. That's their mode. I wish they weren't in that mode.
But it is.
And I'd like to get them out of that mode, but I'm saying it's not exclusive to black men. Anyone they get, they pull the guy off a horse over here that they couldn't catch, and as soon as they got him off the horse, he hit the ground, and then they all stood around him and just started kicking him.
The guy took a running start.
I like the one guy's like, hey, what's going on? Why am I eating? I'm finishing my lunch here. We're kicking a dude. Yeah. Oh, shit. What number are we up to? Because I'm like, eight? Jesus Christ, I'm way behind. I got to catch up.
Comes from off screen.
Find that footage.
You're like at the craps table. Like, can I get in here? Sure. Yeah. We'll
yeah.
See
it doesn't. It, now, if the guy's black, it makes the news. So then we all think they only do it to black people. They just anyone they catch up to, they beat the crap out of. Which I'd like to change. Okay.
Yeah. No, I was a 21 kid. I definitely wasn't posing some big threat. There was a group of us. You know, there was five or six of us. But
Casey, now's the time for you to go. I'm black. 100%. I know the wine country may have thrown you off a little.
Casey
bit.
Also.
Yeah. You up in fortified wine country?
Are you? You know. My dad lives in fortified wine county. It's called Lake County.
Keep going. Cop, we're watching a guy get pulled off a horse. The cop. He's laying down. He couldn't be further down on the ground. Yeah. Arms spread.
Kick to the head. Kick to the crotch.
Off the back sack. I don't know what more you can do than on the ground with both hands spread out in front of you and both legs spread out behind you. Both guys, they never stop kneeing him and kicking him and kneeing
horse
him and kicking him.
Horse is not man's best friend, though. No.
The horse.
For about 10, 12 seconds, there's only two guys throwing punches and kicks as fast as they can. Here come the reinforcements.
Horse gets out of the way, smart enough.
Yeah.
Hey, let me kick that dude.
What are you guys doing?
Hey, what are you doing? Hey, we're kicking a guy.
We're kicking over here.
Okay.
Can I come?
I'm getting in on some of this.
We're kicking over here?
Yeah, who's kicking leg is tired? I can tap out. I'll just get in here. I just like the guy showed up super late, just starts kicking.
Running kick. Like Lucy with a football.
That guy isn't even a cop. Jab.
Passerby.
What are you guys doing?
The guy just standing there, puts his rake down, like walks over there, like, okay.
Guy's on top of the hill. Hey, you kicking down there?
Let's do this. There's a guy who's holding one of those condo signs with the arrow on it. It's like, what's going on? We're having a kicking party. Who's in?
Jabs him with the arrow.
I don't know how much more if I give up than I will lay on my face on the chaparral and spread my arms and hands out as far as I can. But now I'm literally getting the shit kicked out of me on the ground. All right.
But at least he's clothed.
All right. So I like the part where you're escorted through the police department nude.
Yeah. So so after he cuffs me, he ties my sweatshirt around my waist and he walks me back to the cop car. And first he takes me to the trunk and he puts my my other stuff in the trunk and he says, hey, you want to run around naked with your buddy? You can ride to the station naked with your buddy. Ooh. And he unties the sweatshirt from my waist, puts it in the trunk, and then sits me hands behind the back. And my roommate and best friend in the cop car back there with me. And I'm glad that he's there. I didn't want to go this adventure by myself.
Some human centipede
stuff. So they drive us to the station. They get us out of the car. They tie sweatshirts back around our waist and walk us through the parking lot. Then we get back inside the station, and they untie the sweatshirts again and march us through there. And it's about, I don't know, midnight or something, and it's a quiet kind of a town. And they're wolf whistling at us. They've got a bunch of lady cops in there, and they're, howling. And it's like a good time for them. And they, they set me and my friend with the keep us our hands behind our back, handcuffed the whole time. And they put us in just two chairs. And they have sort of like the interrogist, like table, like a panel where they have, I think it was like three guys and a lady cop, and they ask us what we're doing.
They're called cops.
Right.
Lady cop.
And we're fully exposed. There's no hands over the junk or anything. You know, the hands are behind the back. So they do our little they give us our.
All right, we get it. Naked junk, streaking drunk.
No shitting next to your date, but it's good.
It's pretty good. The part I like is the parading through the police station naked.
Trying to teach you a lesson.
How weird are the cops? They're really angry about nudity. Like,
it's
what kind of
Santa Rosa justice.
Really? Is that what's going on? Ugh. I don't really find it crazy.
The wiring of cops is, please give me a reason to do something horrible to you. And you give them a reason, they rarely whiff on that thing. I mean,
they'll accept the invitation.
Yeah, I mean, it was great The guy on the horse went down on his face, and one guy started punching him in the head, and the other guy just got right between his legs and just drilled a 40-yarder, like, right in his back sack. Like, he could have ruptured everything he owned with that guy's boot in the back up the ass sack. And it's like, I'm not sure why he needed to kick the guy in the anus when he was just laying on his belly.
Yeah, how much of a physical threat did he pose at that
point?
Zero.
Here's my point. If you're worried about the physical threat department, then drop a knee down on his ass or the small of his back and, like, hold him down. Just running up and just kicking him in the back of the nuts is kind of like, I don't know why that's stopping.
Yeah, is that police procedure? I doubt it very much.
I'd be more apt to roll over and throw a punch if you kick me in the nuts versus just let me lay on my my belly.
Keep you down.
Yeah. All right. What do you guys think? I'll do this one by committee with Casey over here.
It's good. I would give him about a 12, 13 if I'm feeling if it's generous.
I'm going to tack on a couple more points for going through naked being paraded through the police station.
Unique.
I'll give him like an 18.
So you're right.
And this is a fun story to tell at parties, which I think is there's something to that as opposed to being humiliated and having someone have to coax it out of you, like shitting on a nightstand.
This isn't just I just puke somewhere and everyone's had that
it's
story.
It's good. It's good. I'd go 18.
Ian Beck.
I think it's half the story of shitting on a nightstand. Yeah. I think it's a 13.
Okay. Yeah. You're on time to opinion. I'll tell you what, I'm going to meet you guys. I'll meet you in the middle at 15 and a half.
Oh, it's good. Ooh. It's fair. Mm-hmm. You're tough, but fair.
All right, let me tell you about Castrol Edge. Tech advances have made engines smaller and more powerful. That's why you got to get that Castrol Edge. They've collaborated with Electronic Arts to present the adrenaline-filled driving challenge called Titanium Gamer. Inspired by the need for speed video games, find out if real or computer-based driving skills are superior. And get yourself some Castrol Edge, and you can check out the video, which is really cool. I've watched it a number of times. You can check that out at Castrol USA YouTube page. Why not? Also, Portland Aladdin Theater, June 9th, one-man show, second show added. So go out and buy those tickets and us going out and doing our thing all over the place. Go to amcarolla.com. Also, want to give a little hello to Simply Safe. The Adam Carolla Show is brought to you by Simply Safe. Recommend Simply Safe to everyone I know. SimplySafe.com/Adam. That's where you go. Ian Bag over here. Yeah. The send up on Shaw.
Meow.
Listen, boys.
I'm going to kick in the head and I'm going to kick in the ball.
Chief Wiggum over there. June 2nd. That is June 2nd in St. Louis, and the comedy album Conversations available at Amazon. You can bookmark us and click through us and National Bag. That's 2G's Radio is where you go to check out the podcast. Shoot him a tweet at Bag Radio. Say hi to RJ Bell's Dream Preview and take a little gamble on RJ Bell, a great podcast, our friend over there. You can get that at Podcast One Sports Net and Apple Podcast as well. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Ian Bag and Gina Grad and Ball Brian. Say mahalo.
I probably won't do this again. Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take a Knee. You'll get a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Just click the link at adamcarolla.com. Still some tickets for the second show in Portland, June 9th. Get them now at adamcarolla.com.